Hi guys, it's Keaton here for the Casthetic Podcast. I want to remind you to please use the Amazon banner link at the top of our website at casthetic.com for all of your online shopping needs. It costs you nothing extra, and the show gets a percentage of all the sales. Please bookmark it. And now, on to the show. Welcome to Casthetic. I am your host, Keaton Buse, and I got a very lovely episode for you guys with, like, your voice is incredible. You're playing amazing. Her name's Letitia Van Sant, and the first song she's playing for you guys today is called Bluebird. Anything you want to say about it before they hear it?
The song is sort of about the feeling of, you know, pursuing happiness, and there's some days when you feel like you've got all your ducks in a row and everything's going great, and then that feeling will just inexplicably go away for some reason.
Like a bird.
Yeah, like a bird.
You hold the crumbs out and they eat the crumbs, and you go to the pet and then they whoop, fly away.
Yeah.
Yep.
You
pesky
got it.
Birds. Well, here it is for you guys. This is Bluebird by Letitia Van Sant.
Bluebird came to stay with me. It taught me how to see all the meaning in the ether and the city's poetry. My life's pieces fit together like the notes in a melody. The future shimmered like the dawn across an uncomplaining sea. Bluebird, oh, come back to me. Oh, please, oh, please. Gone, did it die? Was it never there at all? Did I frighten you with my awfulness? Did I now deserve this song? Disenchantment spread its dark gray haze over all my restless days. Storms they scattered what was left in my pathetic trophy case. Bluebird, oh, come back to me. Oh, please, oh, please, oh, made a model in its likeness out of cardboard, tape, and string. But then the downpour left it all a mess of soggy memory. And so I watch the cloudy skies for a sign of its return. Breadcrumbs scattered at my window. I am sad and taciturn. Bluebird, oh, come back to me. Oh, please. Oh, please, oh, please, oh, please.
Welcome back. I hope you guys enjoyed that song. That was Bluebird. Let's get to know Letitia a bit. What's your music background? I'm very curious. Like, when did you start playing? How'd you evolve your sound to what it is now?
Let's see. My friend gave me a guitar when I was in high school, and I started messing around with it then. And I started writing songs a couple years later when I was in college. But I was always very shy about it and did it only in places where no one could hear me for a long time up until, I guess, a couple years after college. And then I was kind of goaded into playing out some and found that I really liked it. And I guess since then, I've kind of come at it a little backwards, but since then I've developed a lot more of an interest in like early country and old time music. So am I answering your question?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that's what I've been more like studiously listening to more recently.
Anyone in particular that you'd say has had a major influence on where you're going with your sound?
On where I'm going with my sound. Well, I guess like there's things that I'm going for with the sound overall, and then there's things that I'm going for with the songwriting, which I see is a little bit different. And I really love like the indie folk aesthetic. But recently I've been really interested in how classic country, the songwriting has to be so tight, you know, mm-hmm. like it has to be, the narrative has to be fit completely within the lines of a verse and a chorus. You get the entire point of the song right away and it leaves no loose ends at all. So your scope is very, very limited, and you just try and dig deep on some sort of real emotional point. Whereas like in indie folk, there's a lot more leeway to leave loose ends and leave people wondering what this line means or what that line means. And more recently I've been aspiring to being a little bit more tight and a little bit more clear what's going on with the song.
Now, with your songwriting, do you have any special rituals you go through to write a song? Like, I know some people will, climb a mountain, then come down, and they have a song all written out by the time they get down. Do you do anything like that?
Well, recently I started reading this book called The Artist's Way. Have you heard of that?
I've heard of it. Haven't read it.
Yeah. And it's sort of the main goal of the book is to help you unblock your creativity. So the belief is that everybody is creative, not just people who are artists. And it has lots of different ways that you just learn to stop censoring yourself and stop having your immediate reaction to be, that's terrible. And so I guess that's the closest that I come to anything like a ritual, I guess. It's mostly free writing. That's usually where I start, is like writing out in a journal, and then finding phrases in that I really like.
Now, how do you come up with the melodies and chord structure and everything for these songs? Do you write your lyrics first and then figure out what music is going to go with it?
No, I usually start with trying to find just one little piece of a melody and a chord that I like, and then I kind of find a phrase that fits with that and then build the song around that.
Well done. Like, your songs are gorgeous. They're really gorgeous, especially in the next one that's going to play. First, we'll do five questions. We'll get to that, but I want to talk about the next song that you played, The Field. Like, that song's so good. It's so gorgeous. I don't know if this sounds in song, but it matches the weather, kind of. Right now, it's kind of rainy. It's just that kind of, like, rainy day song you want to listen to, and it warms you up like a blanket. Is there a story behind that one?
That one is about, I had read this quote that we are not human beings who have spiritual experiences, but we are spiritual beings who are having human experiences. and that, you know, the process of becoming a more full and more loving human being is actually a really difficult one. So it's sort of noting that even though, you know, you may not feel fully alive and thriving, that that's something that you work at over time and, grow to become that.
That quote's gorgeous, too. It all fits. It's great. So let's do a little segment we have on the show called Five Questions. Here it is for you guys listening. Cue the music. It's time for Five Questions. Worst gig you ever played?
Man, there's some contenders for that one. there was one where I was supposed to bring my friend David, who plays guitar with me often, but he was sick that day and he couldn't come, so I showed up and I was like, I'm just gonna play solo, don't have my band with me. And it was at this kind of like a large festival on like a private farm / backyard kind of thing, and the guys were like, oh, well, we got you covered, no problem, don't worry. And I was like, oh no, I'm good, I'll just play by myself, you know, because some of the songs are, you know, they're not particularly complicated, but the structure is such that it might be hard to just follow right along. And then so I started playing, and on the second song this guy picked up his electric bass that he already had set up and started playing along, but he did it. It was set very high volume, and he also was just really not picking up any of the chords at all. and then so eventually I said, you know, I have some at the end of the set that are, you know, 1-4-5 songs that I think would sound really great with the bass on it. Why don't you come back at the end of the set? And then he was like, don't you worry, honey. I got you covered. I'm only going to do little things that just add to what you're doing. And it's funny because I was reflecting that I think that's about the fourth time that's happened that I've been playing. And then some complete stranger comes up on the stage and starts playing along with me unsolicited. Anyway, so that was one.
That's one. All right. The worst equipment malfunction you've had on stage?
Oh, I was playing a gig in Baltimore, and for some reason my ukulele just, I don't know what it was, but like it was the most awful feedback, loud noise that you've ever heard in your life for like a full 30 seconds. And we were all like trying to figure out what it was. So everybody had ducked down on stage and like was trying to quiet every single thing and microphone they could find. That was rough.
30 seconds of feedback. That's a long time for feedback.
Yeah. It was tough.
All right. The dirtiest or scariest place you've stayed during a tour?
Oh, well, there's a place called Dante's in Frostburg, Maryland, that me and my friends, my old band stayed at. I mean, the band was playing at Dante's, but we stayed across the street at this motel where you can get a discount. And I forget what it's called, but the whole place is full of old Victorian like porcelain dolls that are like, there's hundreds and hundreds of them everywhere. And then down in the basement, there's actually a taxidermy museum that like,
it sounds like a murder house.
It's worth checking out. It's worth seeing what it's like.
Porcelain dolls and taxidermy room. Yeah, there's a discount. Don't worry. Anything happen that night, or any dolls come to life?
Oh, man. In my dreams, they did.
Yeah. And it's across the street from a place called Dante's.
Yeah.
In Frostburg, Maryland.
Yeah, go check it out if you're ever in Frostburg.
Yeah, if you're into the macabre, Macabre Crab. I'm definitely mispronouncing that.
Macabre.
Macabre. That sounds like the place for you, man. Like, go check it out. All right. Now, has there ever been a point where you felt like quitting music since you started playing?
I guess it started out as just a very private thing for me, so I never really felt like I would stop playing it altogether. But there are definitely times that I've really struggled with the idea that music is valuable or important enough. Like, I've really struggled with when I was in high school, I was thinking about going off to study art and music, and I had kind of a falling out with myself about that and thought, you know, there's so many people who are suffering and who are starving in this world, and art and music are vain and they're selfish pursuits. So I instead went off and I studied human rights and humanitarian issues. And
Very noble cause.
Well, that was what I studied. And then I went off and I spent the last 5 years working at a lobby group in D.C. that works on human rights and humanitarian issues. But one of the things that I learned from that is that, with all the gridlock in Congress, we are all we're not all just intellectual beings. Like, you can't approach somebody with only facts and figures. All of us are guided by our emotions and our, foundational framework beliefs. And so I think of art and music as one way that you can access that in people, and really speak to, you know, what are the emotional undercurrents behind what it is we say and do. Anyway, I guess I've had a continual doubt about pursuing music and it's whether or not it's worthwhile. I'd say
keep it up, because amazing. All right. The last question I have for you for five questions is, what's your best memory playing music?
That's a really hard one, because I feel like many of my best memories are playing music. There was one time I was playing in Baltimore at a festival, and this little girl who was maybe about 7 or so came up to me and she said, "I like your CD because it makes me feel emotions. And my mom says it's good to feel emotions." I loved that. I felt like I could just die right there.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
Way to go, cute little 7-year-old.
Yeah.
If you're listening out there. Let's get another song for you guys out there listening. Or gals, guys, gals, persons, people, animals, if you're a dog listening. This song's amazing. It's going to wrap you like a warm blanket and make you feel so good inside. This song is called "The Field" by Letitia Van Zandt. Enjoy.
My soul is a field where though it hasn't in a long while. But I'll pick up my plow and I'll pick up my hoe, for the soil is rocky and dry. Oh, let me find all the hard lumps of clay in my heart. heart. Let me soften them with my own hands. Let me dig down a well into the water source. Let it flow and nourish the land. Oh, let me feel the sunshine. Oh, let me feel the rain. Let me remember in the leaner times that I'll reap what I've sown. Let me take down the fences that keep others out. Let them come and take what they need. Let us sit at a table and eat our fill, and be grateful for tomorrow's seed. Oh, let me feel the sunshine. Oh, let me feel the rain. Let me remember in the leaner times that I'll reap what I've sown once again.
Welcome back. That song was called The Field. Now, do you have any, are you working on any recordings coming up?
Yeah, I'm getting ready to record. Unlike my past albums, which have been kind of flying by the seat of my pants and being like, oh, I just wrote a song. I want to go record it and then figure out everything else about it after I started. This time I have written a whole bunch of material and I'm trying to pick from my favorites and then arrange it with the band and rehearse and then go to the studio. So that's what I'm doing this time. And hopefully we'll be recording in October or November.
Now, do you have any shows coming up where people can check you out live if they?
September 11th, Tacoma Park Folk Festival. And after that, Institute of Musical Traditions. I'm doing a Patsy Cline tribute.
Ooh.
That's September 29th. So that'll be fun.
Where's that at?
Institute of Musical Traditions, I think uses a church in Rockville.
Oh, okay.
I'm forgetting the name of it right off the bat.
But I'm sure there's a way people can find it online.
Yeah.
Speaking of finding things online, where can people find your music online?
At LaTishaVanSant.com.
There you go. Go check it out right now. Now I got a couple open mics and shows to tell you guys about. First off, let's get into open mics. Every Tuesday night at Philly Tavern in Old Town Manassas, wonderful open mic run by a great group of guys. Stephen Lee hosts every now and then. You got a few others, Ricky Benatti. If you don't know Ricky Benatti, you'll learn about Ricky Benatti there, I guarantee you. Then every Thursday night at Epicure Cafe, great open mic, great pizza, wonderful people. Just go to open mics, find them near you because they're great places to meet musicians and hear stuff that you probably won't hear them play again, or at least let them know that it was good so they do play it again. That's another thing you should do at open mics, compliment. As far as shows go, we're already in September, but every Friday in September this month is Jambrew Festival over in Herndon. Highly recommend it. You got local beers, local bands, local buddies. So yeah, local bees. Go check it out. It's great. Run by Jay Burden of Dead Wax. Great guy. Great festival. Then on September 14th at the Velvet Lounge, Milo in the Doldrums, The Head, and Yum are playing. On September 23rd at Valley Cat in Winchester, The Dusk Wails of Mark Train Home, and Dr. Robinson's Fiasco, and more are playing. There'll be a lot of bands there, from what I've heard. And then our engineer, Ken Barnum, has been working really hard on this album, and the release party is coming up for the Lado album release on September 15th at IOTA. He's showing me some tracks from it. It's going to be really good. I go to this album release party, get the album. Trust me on that. You're going to... good. And while you're on the internet, you have a Facebook set up for a group?
Yep. Look up Letitia Van Zandt.
Look up Letitia Van Zandt on Facebook. Give her a like.
Yeah, so it's spelled like Letitia.
Letitia?
Yeah.
I know, that threw me off, too. I kept saying Letita, and...
Well, yeah,
it's
how
Letitia.
Would you know? How would you know?
Some phonetics. Learn your phonetics. Go on Facebook, give her a like, so that way you know when she's playing, when album's being released, all that jazz. You know, the news. Stay updated. Throw Cast Aesthetic a like while you're at it, and feel free to check us out on Instagram, at Cast Aesthetic. Big thank you to Mark Ryder and Ken Barnum for recording, mixing, making everything sound lovely. And every time there is sunshine, it's because they are smiling. So thank them for the sunshine. If that's what you like, if you like sunshine, not everyone likes hot, bright weather. Oh, and a big thank you to Bias Studios for having us, letting us use their lovely facilities with lots of historic value.
It's gorgeous, yeah.
Yeah. If I could rent a floor space here to sleep, I would, because they keep it at a very comfortable temperature. Now, there's one last song that Letitia played for all of you listening. It's called The Bits and the Pieces. Anything you want to say about this?
It's about a lonely old woman and how it makes her very happy when somebody comes to visit.
So go visit lonely old people. Makes them happy. And that's what this song's about. Also, this song was ukulele, but your ukulele, it's a baritone uke, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you play it kind of like a guitar, not like that fast chords that most ukulele songs are.
Yeah.
Those happy ukulele songs that... lots of people play.
Yeah, you can count on me for the sad ukulele songs.
Well, here it is, my all-time favorite ukulele song now. All-time favorite. I wouldn't say it's sad. It's just it's gorgeous. It is The Bits and the Pieces by Letitia Van Zandt. Go check her out on all those internet sources, the Facebook and her website. I hope you guys enjoyed this song as much as I have. So here it is for you, The Bits and the Pieces. Have a great couple of weeks.
Black cross hatch on December sky. Trees and tangled power lines. A lonely sparrow with empty mouth. Mother brothers have all flown south. Little birdie hope springs eternal in your stubborn. Nightmares of catching her breath. discouraged and hopeless and worried the last years of your life. And I know there's something to be said for caution. For caution.